Owen seethed silently. The thought of this young usurper living in his standing, sleeping in his bed, and drinking the best wines from his cellar drove him almost to apoplexy. But somehow he kept his peace. Much as he hated to admit it, Random was right. The rebellion had to take preference over a personal quarrel. He was still searching for something diplomatic to say when Giles stepped forward, fixing David with an implacable stare.
The Death Stalker name has always been great, boy. You just have to live up to the rest of us. If you want to prove yourself, do it on the field of battle, as Death Stalkers always have. In the meantime, you and Owen make peace. Your family, you're bound together by blood and honor and 900 years of tradition. You're both my children in every way that matters, and I won't have you at daggers drawn. Now, make your peace, or I'll bang your heads together.
Owen had to smile. The original Deathstalker had a way of getting to the heart of things. Family was more important than politics, and always would be. Causes come and go, politics mutate and evolve, but the family goes on. He nodded brusquely to David.
I don't want to see you dead, David. I doubt very much we're ever going to like each other, but you're still family. Just remember that although you currently have everything I had, the Iron Bitch can take it away from you in a moment, just like she took it from me. Watch your back. And watch your own security people, too. They were the first to turn on me when I was outlawed. See me afterward, and I'll tell you about a way out they don't know about.
Thanks for the advice. I'll bear it in mind.
He looked back at Jack Random.
Kit Summerisle and I represent a great many others of our generation. Younger sons who will never inherit and are impatient with the way things are. Many of them have made careers in the army and the fleet, and they might just throw in their lot with a rebellion if they were offered the right incentives.
Talk to them, but be careful what you promise. None of us can look too far into the future at this point.
And then he broke off as a group of six men moved purposefully through the crowd toward him. Their hologram signal so strongly forced all others aside. People cursed and spluttered, but the six men ignored them. They were tall and willowy, albinos with milk-white skin and hair, and blood-red eyes. They wore long robes of swirling colors, and their faces had been savagely, ritually scarred. Everyone knew who they were, who they had to be. The Bloodrunners were infamous in deed and legend. They were based in the Obia systems, a small group of planets out on the rim, united by a dark and ancient religion based on blood and suffering and possession by deceased ancestors. Murderous fanatics, and proud of it. They were branded as heretics by the established church long ago, but no one did anything about it. The Bloodrunners had a hand in every dirty and illegal trade in the Empire, and their reach was very long. They dealt in everything from vampire blood to clone legging to slavery, and bowed their pale heads to no one. They came to a halt before Random, who studied them thoughtfully.
Wonderful. More complications. What the hell are you doing here? You weren't on the guest list. Hell, you people aren't on anybody's guest list. If you turned up at a funeral, the corpse would walk out on you. In case I'm not hinting strongly enough, get the hell out of here before we have to have the place fumigated. The rebellion will never be so badly off that we'll turn to you for support.
Harsh words from a tired old man. I am Scour. I speak for the Bloodrunners. We are a people of one race and one religion, with roots far older than your revered empire families. We are proud and honorable according to our traditions, and we have never bent the knee to Lionstone or any who preceded her. We come to offer our support to the rebellion. We are wealthy. You are welcome to take what you need.
Random licked his lips. His mouth was very dry. Random remembered some of the uncanny things he'd heard about the Bloodrunners, and suddenly they didn't seem nearly so unlikely. He didn't want their help, didn't want anything from them. But the rebellion needed backers.
I take it there's a price for your support. What did you have in mind?
To be left alone. We have our own ways, which have endured for centuries beyond counting, and we have no wish to change. Lionstone's new measures threaten our independence. In return for the gifts we offer, we require only to be left in peace. Disapprove if you must, but do it from a distance.
What's the catch?
There is one other thing. A matter of honor. One of your people owes us a debt.
The Bloodrunners all turned their dead white faces to stare at Hazel Dark. Scour took one step toward her.
You are the only survivor of the starship Shard. The captain of that vessel made a pact with us. Promises were made and help provided in return for future payment. The captain and the rest of the crew are dead. As the only survivor, the debt is now yours, Hazel Dark. And it is past time for repayment.
He looked back at Random.
We require you to hand this woman over to us.
Don't waste your time. Whatever price Captain Marquis agreed to, I wasn't consulted and I didn't agree to it. Besides, I couldn't pay it. I'm broke.
We don't want money. Your captain made an agreement with us. The Shard was to provide us with fresh bodies. A percentage of those acquired during your work as clone leggers. We always have a need for fresh bodies. Our customs and researchers tend to use them up quite quickly. We cannot overlook the debt. That would be dishonorable. So, we must have our pound of flesh. You will come with us, Hazel Dark, and we will make good use of you while you last.
Like hell you will. Hazel's my friend. No one threatens her while I'm here.
Thank you, Owen, but I can speak for myself.
Hazel glared at the Bloodrunners.
Your deal was with Marquis, and he's dead. You never made any deal with me, so I don't owe you squat. You're not getting your hands on me. I've heard about people who end up in your laboratories. They end up begging for death to stop the pain.
What is pain when the goal is knowledge? We are unlocking the secrets of life and death. You should be honored to assist us.
Take your honor and stick it. You're not cutting me up an inch at a time.
Yes, we will. It has been agreed. It is immutable, fixed, inevitable.
Crazy as well as ugly. Get out of my sight. There's nothing for you here.
Wait just a minute. These people have offered us unlimited financial support. What's one life compared to that?
Right. I mean, she's only a clone legger after all. Every time one of them dies, the Empire smells a little better.
There was a general murmur of agreement with Summer Isle. Owen looked to Jack Random for support, and then made himself relax. The Bloodrunners were just hollow images. They were no threat.
Hazel isn't going anywhere. Anyone who feels otherwise is welcome to come here in person, and I will send him on to join his ancestors. Former Q, no shoving.
I have to agree with Owen. We are not the Empire. We don't sacrifice individuals for someone else's good.
Scour stepped forward, his crimson eyes fixed on Hazel's.
Then we will take her. You cannot escape, Dark. We have a teleport fix on you. You will come with us now. And we will take such pleasures from the mysteries of your flesh.
A silver shimmering appeared in the air around Hazel, spitting static. Hazel tried to run, but the energy field hemmed her in, like an insect in a killing jar. Ruby Journey tried using her hollow breaker on the Bloodrunners, but it didn't work. Hazel looked despairingly at Owen as he tried to get to her and couldn't. He hammered on the shimmering air with his fists, ignoring the pain as the energy field burned his human hand, but it made no difference. He still kept trying until the field grew strong enough to throw him back. He glared across at the Bloodrunners, who ignored him, their eyes fixed on Hazel. He knew they could have taken her by now. They just wanted to make a point. There was nothing he could do.
But he had to do something. Something. He turned back to Hazel, already almost lost in the shimmering field. And suddenly, will and need slammed together in his mind and awakened something dark and terrible down in the undermind, the back brain, that part of him changed and strengthened by his time in the madness maze. Power blazed up in him, crackling in the air around him like fettered lightning, bent to his will, and he became more than human. His presence was suddenly overpowering, his very reality magnified and concentrated into something so perfect it was almost inhuman. Everyone in the hall stared at him, unable to look away, their eyes held with the fascination of a moth for a lamp. And he was burning so very brightly. He stepped forward, sank his hands into the shimmering teleport field, and ripped it apart. It collapsed instantly, and Hazel staggered toward him on unsteady legs. He took her in his arms for a moment, and then gently pushed her away, handing her over to Random. He wasn't finished yet. He turned to face the Bloodrunners, his face cold and hard, and they stared back at him, contemptuous and defiant. You think you're safe, don't you? You're light years away, at the other end of the rim.
But I can reach you wherever you are.
He reached out in a way that was new to him, but was so obvious now the power was awakening him, and his anger fell upon Scour. The Bloodrunner screamed once as blood erupted from his mouth and nose and ears and eyes. And then he exploded, spattering those around him with blood and shredded flesh. Owen Deathstalker smiled at their shocked and bloody faces, and then he turned and stared grimly out at the crowd that had been ready to sacrifice Hazel for their greater good. They shivered under his gaze, but still couldn't look away. Owen could feel the power surging within him, demanding to be used, but he clamped down on it hard. He didn't understand it yet, and he had a strong suspicion it just might have an agenda of its own. He concentrated, let the power sink back into the undermind, and he became just a man again. Hazel pushed herself away from Random and moved uncertainly toward Owen. Her face was composed, but her hands were trembling slightly.
Thanks, Owen. I owe you one. I didn't know you could do that.
Neither did I. I think the maze changed us, more than we're willing to admit. The power's in you, too. You could have saved yourself.
Next time I will. We're going to have to study what we're becoming, Owen. What we're capable of.
Talk later. We don't want to freak out our prospective new friends. I think it's better if they find out about us a little bit at a time.
He turned to look at the remaining Bloodrunners.
And you can get the hell out of here, like I told you. We're fighting this rebellion to put an end to practices like yours.
We will have her. If not now, later.
No, you won't. If I ever clap eyes on you again, you're history. Now go back to whatever cesspit you crawled out of, and don't try to get in touch with us again until you're prepared to act civilized. The Bloodrunner stared at him for a long moment, and then they were gone. There was a general sigh of relief from all present, followed by a low rumble of conversation in the crowd. Just a sighting of Bloodrunners was rare enough, without seeing them get their ass kicked so convincingly. A number of people looked admiringly at Owen, but he couldn't help noticing there were just as many who seemed disturbed, even scared, by the power he'd wielded. Owen understood. It scared him, too. As the power within him grew, would he become more than human, or less? He looked around as Jack Random finally called everyone's attention back to him, and the crowd fell silent again.
I think we've had enough excitement for one day. We can continue this meeting through the usual channels over the next few days. We'll meet again when we have something more concrete to discuss. Unless there is still some urgent piece of business that absolutely must be dealt with now.
There is!
Said a deep, authoritative voice from the crowd. And once again, people fell back as a tall, commanding figure strode forward to stand before Random.
He was a head taller than anyone else present, well-muscled and devilishly handsome. His long, dark hair fell to his broad shoulders, and he wore silver battle armor chased with gold, as though he'd been born to it. He radiated strength and confidence, and wisdom and compassion showed clearly in his striking features. He held himself like a warrior, and his charisma outshone the overhead lights. Owen distrusted him on sight. No one had a right to look that good.
And who the hell are you?
Owen didn't care how it sounded.
I'm Jack Random. The real Jack Random.
The crowd erupted into a deafening babble as everyone tried to talk at once. Random's jaw dropped, and for a moment he looked like nothing more than a tired old man who'd had one shock too many. He pulled himself together quickly, but a lot of people had seen the lapse. Ruby Journey moved in protectively close beside Random, but his old friend Alexander Storm stayed where he was, openly stunned. The newcomer stood before his namesake, arms folded across his great chest, his gaze level and challenging. Owen and Hazel looked at each other, but neither could think of anything to say for the life of them. Ruby Journey glared at the newcomer, one hand resting instinctively on her holstered gun.
You can't be Jack. You're nowhere near old enough for a start.
I've been through several heavy-duty regenerations, said the younger Jack Random. Which is why I've been out of things for so long. The Empire almost finished me. But now I'm back, better than ever, and I'm here to head your rebellion.
He smiled at Storm, who was still blinking dazedly.
Good to see you again, Alex. It's been a while since we fought together on Cold Rock.
Storm realized his mouth was hanging open and closed it with a snap.
You look just like him. Younger, but...
Well,
said Finley Campbell.
Is he the real Jack Random or not?
I don't know. I don't know what to think.
Storm looked at the older Random beside him.
You look like him, too. Older, but... I can't tell.
I can. I fought beside the real Jack Random, and he's standing right here at my side. Anyone has a problem with that, they can step right up and be measured for a coffin.
She glared at the young Random, who just smiled back at her.
Loyalty. I admire that in a warrior.
Oh, pardon me while I puke. Owen didn't bother to lower his voice. Doesn't it strike anyone here as odd that this perfect knight in shining armor should turn up out of nowhere, claiming to be the legendary Jack Random just when we're starting to put things together? At best, he's deluded. At worst, he's a plant sent to divide us. I say we show him the door and boot him through it. As far as I'm concerned, we've already got the real Jack Random, and we don't need some poseur imposter. Right, Jack?
I don't know. What if he's right? What if that is the real Jack Random, and I'm just a duplicate? He looks and sounds the part much more than I do. The Empire had me captive for a long time. Maybe they cloned me, and I'm the clone. It would explain why my memories are so patchy in places.
That was the Empire mind techs. They could screw up anybody's mind. Everyone knows that. More likely, this is the clone standing before us sent to confuse us, like the Deathstalker said. If he was, he's doing a damn good job.
The older Random looked at Storm.
You said we were together at Cold Rock, but I don't remember that. Were you there with me?
Yes. I don't see how you could forget that. We fought side by side, almost died together. You were taken, and I only escaped being captured by the skin of my teeth. I never saw you again. And now, I don't know what to think.
What we need is an Esper. Get the two Randoms together before a telepath and let him sort it out.
That wouldn't necessarily work,
said Giles.
They could both genuinely believe they're who they say they are. Empire mind techs could make you believe anything, even in my day. No, what we need is a gene test. That'll reveal which one is the clone. No problem. I'm on my way to the Wolfling world to join you. You can run some tissue samples then. I'll be with you soon. And then I'll lead you all in a rebellion that will finally topple the Iron Bitch from her throne.
The crowd broke into loud applause. Many cheered. It was obvious they found it much easier to believe in the young, charismatic hero rather than the older, gaunt, and shabby man who'd previously claimed the legendary name. He smiled and bowed, and then his hollow was gone, and the applause died raggedly away. Silence slowly fell across the great hall, as one by one, all heads turned to look at the older Jack Random. He bit his lower lip and looked down at his feet. Ruby nudged him with an elbow.
Say something!
I don't know what to say. I don't know who I am anymore. I'm tired. I'm going to lie down for a while.
And nobody raised a hand to stop him. Not even Owen. The discussion that followed was heated and very confused, but there was no doubt the younger Random's appearance had galvanized the crowd into action in a way the older Random had been unable to. They needed someone to spark their enthusiasm and commitment, and now they were ready to fight. Giles and Owen and Hazel chaired the meeting as best they could, but as far as the crowd was concerned, the three of them didn't have the authority to make any binding decisions. Jack Random's name had brought them to the last standing, and they weren't prepared to be led by unknowns. In the end, Alexander Storm and the two Stevie Blues took over as representatives of the Golgotha Underground. They'd been preparing for an empire-wide rebellion for years, but had lacked the funds and the following to put it into action. The meeting slowly settled down, and some decisions were made. Everyone knew that in a straightforward war against Lionstone's forces, the rebels would inevitably lose. They didn't have the numbers or the discipline or the resources of Lionstone's army and fleet. Instead, the Golgotha Underground proposed orchestrated risings on every planet in the Empire simultaneously, together with acts of sabotage and civil disruption, spreading the Imperial forces so thinly that they could be fought and beaten in individual battles. However, four planets in particular remained vital. Whoever could control or hold them would win in the end. Only once their fates had been sealed would it be possible for the rebels to begin the final phase, the assault on Golgotha itself in the Imperial Palace. Whoever held Golgotha ruled the Empire. The four planets were Technos III, the base of Clan Wolf's star drive production, Mistworld, the rebel planet, Shannon's World, also known as the Pleasure Planet, and Viramond, in charge of food and supply routes for most of the Empire. It was decided almost unanimously that Owen and Hazel would return to Mistworld. They had experience and contacts there.
Oh, great. The last time I was there was all I could do just to stay alive, and I'm supposed to be an expert?
If you survived living in Mistport, that qualifies you as an expert. And I do know a few people who could be useful, which puts us miles ahead of anyone else here. Cheer up, Stud. Maybe it won't be so bad this time.
It couldn't be any worse.
Don't put money on it.
I'm coming back in an urn. I just know it. Mistwood is the only planet I've ever known that made the Imperial Court look timid and restrained. Mistport isn't a civilization. It's evolution in action. If it was any more violent, they could sell season tickets to the Golgotha Arena crowds. It'd be a major hit on Holovision. There's more sex, blood, and dirty dealing in Mistport than on your average soap. Maybe we should negotiate to buy the rights.
Owen, you're babbling. If we survive the jungles of Chandrakor, we can survive Mistport.
It'll all end in tears.
He realized people were staring at him and subsided, muttering. The meeting moved on to further things, but Hazel stopped listening. Behind what she hoped was a brave face, she was shaking inwardly. Leaving the Wolfling world for Mistworld meant leaving her supply of blood behind. She could always stock up before they left, and she was sure she'd be able to find a new source in Mistport. You could find anything in Mistport, but it increased the chances of her secret being found out. She didn't care what the Rebel Council might think of her. They'd already condemned her just for being a clone legger, but Owen would be so upset with her. He wouldn't be angry. She could have coped with anger. But he would look at her with those sad, defeated eyes and be very disappointed in her. For some reason she couldn't or wouldn't name, Hazel couldn't bear the thought of letting him down like that. So, he must never know. She crossed her arms across her chest and hugged herself tightly. She could feel the weight of the vial of blood in her pocket, tugging at her side like an impatient child. Her need was growing again, but she fought it down ruthlessly. She was still in charge for the moment. And perhaps, just perhaps, she could use the trip to Mistworld as a way to break off from her blood use. She'd be in a familiar place with old friends. The pressure would be less. She could do it. She was stronger than the drug. And all the while she thought this, she had to hug herself ever more tightly to stop herself trembling with her need for the blood in her pocket. She made herself pay attention to what was being discussed and found that Jack Random the Elder, Ruby Journey, and Alexander Storm had been chosen to go to Technos 3 as representatives of the rebellion. A lot of people still weren't sure about Random, but no one was ready to count him out yet, so sending him to Technos 3 seemed to be the best way to make use of him. The planet was a factory world and had been for generations. Most of the surface had disappeared beneath an overlay of sprawling mile-long factories, construction sites, and mining equipment. The air was so polluted you could chew it, and the local ecology had long ago been poisoned into extinction. No one cared. Nothing really important had been lost. The factories worked on, and production actually rose a little after they didn't have to bother about side effects anymore. These days, it all belonged to Clan Wolf and was given over to Star Drive production. This was a long and complicated business, involving practically every resource on the planet. The workers were clones and indentured servants, paying off family debts that went back generations. Given the current state of interest rates on old loans, you could be born and die in debt without ever affecting the original sum. Not surprisingly, there was a small but thriving army of rebels and discontents who'd scraped a precarious living among the discarded remnants of high-tech and abandoned experiments that filled the great industrial wastelands. They were vicious, dedicated fighters. They had to be. There was no way for them to get off Technos 3 as long as Clan Wolf was still in control. Of late, things had got so bad on Technos 3 that Valentine Wolf had been obliged to ask for assistance to avoid any interruption to Star Drive production. The Empress had shown her sense of humor by sending 5 companies of church troops, together with a selection of Jesuit commandos under the command of Cardinal James Kasser. Valentine and Kasser did not get along, so Valentine had taken the opportunity to fade even more into the background, leaving Stephanie and Daniel to run things as they chose. The church was currently fighting the local rebels with evangelical fury and losing. Kasser was beside himself with rage, not least because Lionstone wouldn't send him any reinforcements. Random, Journey, and Storm would make planetfall unnoticed, link up with the local rebels, and then lead them to victory over the church forces. Hopefully, the locals would then agree to work with the main rebellion to produce the new star drive for the upcoming war. No one said anything, but everyone knew this was to be the make or break for Jack Random. Either he could bring this off, in which case he probably was the real thing, or he couldn't.